Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Chris Marshall of the Click of Comics Library.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we're going to be discussing in this episode are the top 300 trades through Diamond to retailers for September 2009. Now, we're a little bit late in terms of getting this recorded. That's all my fault, and I apologize, Chris.
Oh, believe me, dude. I've had swine flu in my house, and my computer crashed, so we both had our issues.
But, hey, you know, let's take a look at the September stuff. It's been actually, a couple of interesting months for comics and trades. And what I found interesting this time around in terms of kind of the breakdown of the sales for the top 300 was normally we've got kind of a three-way split. This time we had fairly close to almost a 50-50 split between Marvel and DC on the one hand and everybody else on the other. Mm-hmm. So it was a good month for the non-Marvel DC stuff. A lot of that goes towards Dark Horse. Now, the publisher with the largest share of the unit sales for the top 300 trades was DC Comics, with 31.41% of the total unit sales for those top 300 trades, and 32.38% of the dollars for those same top 300 trades. Now, Marvel came in with only 22.96% of the units and 29.6% of the dollars. So, noticeable difference there, particularly by units of about 9%, really not that big of a difference in terms of the dollars, and part of that is just the average price point for Marvel was $26.67, whereas for DC it was $19.52. So again, the average comes into play there. But what really kind of swung things up quite a bit for the indies was Dark Horse. They had 25 items and accounted for 13.76% of the total unit sales for the top 300 and 13.98% of the total dollars for the top 300 units. Now, or top 300 trades, you know what I mean, the whole rigmarole there.
Right.
But nearly 14% for Dark Horse. Now, that's really strong. Now, normally, you know, again, we see typically a roughly three-way split between Marvel, DC, and everybody else. So for it to come to close to a 50-50, and realistically, it was 54.38% of the units for Marvel and DC and 45.62% for everybody else. There's about a 10% swing there. But that's, you know, surprisingly close to a 50-50 split by units. Now, by dollars, it's a little different story because it's 61.98% of the dollars went to Marvel and DC, and 38.02% went to everybody else. So much bigger disparity there, and again, that goes to the price point. The most expensive thing from DC in September was $99.99. For Marvel, it was $125. For Dark Horse, it was $99.95. But for everybody else, I think the highest price point was a $49.99 sent item from Image. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was like $35 or less for their top priced item. And again, most of these other publishers have an item or two on the list. Some have three or four. So it was kind of interesting in that respect.
What's really interesting is the amount of items, the total number of items this month. You had DC with 96, Marvel with 56, and Dark Horse at like 25, like you said. But DC, and you have it highlighted, reorder items, 66 items.
Well, that goes back.
Blows my mind.
Well, that goes back to what we've talked about before with DC. And, you know, I crunched these numbers a couple of weeks ago, and just because of work delays, we haven't recorded, but and I haven't really looked at them since. But I can just tell you just off the basis of history, we're going to see a bunch of Fables. We're going to see a bunch of Why the Last Man. We're going to see a bunch
right.
of Sandman. What else?
Watchmen will be on there, you know.
Watchmen will probably be on there, but that's only one item. But
Right.
they've got such a strong backlist, particularly from the Vertigo section.
Scalped, right?
Scalped, yeah. DMZ will probably have an item or two on there. Probably a Hellblazer or two. But I mean, they've got such a solid and consistent selling backlist that the fact they have 66 reorder items does not surprise me at all. I mean, that's more items than any publisher has for new items.
Right.
Heck, that's more items than Marvel has on the list, period, this month.
Right.
So, I mean, it comes down to slow and steady wins the race in a lot of cases, and this is one of them. You know, it's great to have a smash success, but if you only have that for a month or two, and then it just kind of fades away or whatever, you know, that doesn't really help. Now, going to Image, which is in the fourth slot of the breakdown this month with 19 items, 13 of which were reorder, only 6 of which were new. It had 5.99% of the units and 4.83% of the dollars. I'm willing to bet out of those 13 reorder items, we're probably going to see Watchmen on the list, might see Invincible, but really, I mean, the Kirkman stuff is.
Oh, you mean Wolfman, you mean?
I was thinking Invincible, actually.
No, you said Watchmen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tired, late, but yes.
The
My point being, Kirkman titles
Kirkman verse, right.
is as close to the Vertigo stuff in terms of consistent selling back items that Image has.
Right.
And, I mean, but, Image is just a unique entity in that respect because they tend to do a lot of miniseries that'll come out for a trade and don't have quite that depth of trade paperbacks that something like a Walking Dead has or Fables over at DC and that kind of stuff. So it's a little harder for them to kind of get that traction and build up that momentum over time, which again, that's what's keeping items like, you know, the Vertigo stuff and Walking Dead, I think, on the list every month. Anything else on the breakdowns, or should we go take a look at the list?
No, we can take a look at the list unless you want to take a look at the next column over with the major and minor league and the farm leagues at all, if you
Yeah,
want
we
to.
haven't looked at that for a bit. Again, for those who are not familiar with this chunk of the spreadsheet, I've got a monthly breakdown tab, which has the comic side, the trade side, and then I've got this other side. And this is kind of a work in progress for me. And what I've done is I've broken the publishers into five groups. Got the Major League, which is the DC, Dark Horse, Image, and Marvel. These are the guys in the front of previews that are the quote-unquote premier publishers. And then we've got what I consider the minor leagues, the up-and-coming that are strong, but not a DC Marvel kind of strong, and arguably Dark Horse and Image should fall down into this minor league. But the publishers I have here are Boom, Dynamite, IDW, and Oni. And these are arbitrary things. Arguably, some of the stuff I have in the Farm League should move up in a few cases. And the Farm League, farm teams are essentially just that. These are the publishers that, in some cases, may not have anything coming out every month. They may have one or two things. And these are the ones that are, again, the smaller publishers. And there's nothing wrong with being in this area. To me, these guys are playing by a different set of rules than a Marvel or a DC, you know, certainly, and then even by a Boom or a Dynamite, you know, in that respect. The amount of traction they have in the market is smaller because they have fewer titles. The marketing dollars they can spend is a little more limited. So they've got to be a little more creative and smarter in how they do their marketing and stuff like that. And then I've got two other categories, one of which is manga, where I put Del Rey, Random House, Tokyo Pop, Viz, and Yen, because these are the ones that have trade paperback sized items but are comic book type frequency, and they're really neither fish nor fowl. And I really believe that the manga audience, while there's definitely an overlap with the traditional American comics audience, it operates under just different rules, hence breaking those out into a separate group. And then the final group is a group of one because it's just a unique little thing, and that's Archie Comics. Archie's, you know, market or business model is geared more towards the mass market than the direct market, but we're in a very interesting time here where the Archie stuff this month is on par, well, with some of the stuff in the minor leagues, certainly is beating most of the stuff in the farm team league.
Right.
And that's off the strength of the Archie marries Veronica storyline, which actually I've read the first three parts of, have really been enjoying, and I'm looking for the second half where they go through the same story except, you know, he marries Betty this time.
Right.
So, to me, what this really points out is what I do is I take the dollars for comics, the dollars for trade, you know, figure out what the combined is, and then figure out what percentage of the money coming in for the publisher is from comics or trades, and all that kind of a thing. And we really rarely see kind of a 50-50 split between the trades and the publish the comics and the trades. I mean, the one that has probably the best balance this time around is Image, with about 60%, a little under 60% of their income coming from comics, I mean, and a little over 40 coming from trades. Which is interesting because in the other direction, Dark Horse got a little under 40% by comics and a little over 60% of their income from trades. So compare that to a Marvel, which is doing about 86% of their income by comics and only about 14% by trades, and DC, which is doing a little over 78% by comics and 21%, a little under 22 actually, by trades. And you can really see that for the most part, you know, with Dark Horse being the obvious exception here, the trades are not what's kind of supplying the income stream, primary income stream for these publishers. So, you know, they've got to be getting these monthly comics out to where they can later collect them in trades and get that supplemental income. But we're, I think, a ways from publishers being able to shift over to the trades or collected editions as the primary, you know, moneymaker for them. Now, looking at the combined dollars, I think, based on this month, there's a definite case that IDW maybe should be, you know, moving more towards that major league on my list, and maybe Image and Dark Horse down towards that minor league, or kind of, you know, because they're really not all that far apart in terms of the dollars.
Right.
And Oni Press had, I think, nothing on the top 300 list for comics, had some stuff on the trades. But really, that's one that, again, based on this one month, you know, if I were doing this now, I probably would have put in the farm team league. Just because it's doing about $51,000 of combined income, whereas everyone else in the minor leagues is doing, you know, about 10 times that. So to me, it's just a way of thinking about the publishers and kind of realizing that They're at different levels of the industry and, you know, just operate under different rules.
I think, though, between the minors and the farm team, you can fluctuate one or two companies every month. That's something you may want to look at year end if you can crunch the numbers and really get to find out who is – because the majors, the four majors, there's always going to be the four majors, I think. But as far as the second tier and the farm team, you know – you could definitely see fluctuation there between the companies, I think.
Well, I still think Dark Horse and Image arguably are more minor league than major league just because
right.
there's
oh,
a,
they are. Right.
A major difference in the amount of money that they're making between them and, say, a DC or a Marvel. And really what I ought to be doing is getting it to where not only do I have these numbers for the given month, but I've got kind of the average over the last year and stuff like that and use mm-hmm. that average to kind of shift stuff, you know, between the different leagues.
It's a cool little part of the spreadsheet, though. This is one of probably my favorite part of the spreadsheet, just looking at it and see who's doing what, combined dollars and percent of the top comics and trades and everything. So you can really see how everything equals out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just see, because, you know, it's like, sure, Marvel's not doing as well on the trade list this month, but they really kick butt on the comic list. Mm-hmm. How does that, you know, really even out against DC for the month or compared to some of these others? And, you know, with this, it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And now that work is starting to quiet down and get back to almost, you know, a reasonable level of sanity in terms of the hours and stuff, I am getting to where I want to kind of, rework my spreadsheet stuff here and get it to where I've got more things like this that are kind of, doing some interesting analysis of the data.
Have you ever thought of breaking it down even further, like having, the vertigo and Wildstorm,
I
you know?
have, and the main reason I don't have imprints at this point, because that's something I
Oh.
very much want to add, particularly for DC,
Yeah.
because I think that's where it's most relevant. But the problem is the data I get from Diamond does not break the items down at that level.
Right. You
So
almost have to hand code it, you know?
I would have to have something else in the process to go add that information in.
Yeah.
And I've got some ideas as to how to do that. But I just, again, haven't had time lately. Because I would very much like to know, again, this month in particular, 66 reorder items. Imagine if we could drill down and have an easy list of, well, how many of those were Vertigo? Were any of them Wildstorm?
Well, that's like the reason why I ask is because it's almost like reverse engineering when I go on to like Discount Comic Book Service. I order my comics and you can do the drop down and you can see the from Marvel, the Max line, the selected authors like the Stephen King books. They have their own category, and the same with DC when you order those, they've got the Vertigo and the Wildstorm and everything. So in the CMX or whatever it is. So you can really drill it down when you order the comics too.
Right. Well,
So
I think beyond just, imprint, I'd like to be able to do it by editorial office to a certain degree. Are these Batman books, Superman books,
Right.
X-Men
That
books,
that's exactly how they do it on DCBS, as you know, right.
those kind of family groups or whatever. I'd like to also get this to where over time it's got more information of, did this switch creative teams, and this is more on the comic side, although it would be a bit applicable in the trades. Is this a different artist? That sort of a thing.
Right.
My long-term vision for all of this, and I'm quite a ways from it, is to eventually get this into a predictive model. Something to where, here we are near the tail end of November. We're talking about the September data, of course, but obviously we know what came out in October. It would be nice to be able to say, well, based on all the trades and hardcovers and collected editions that came out, based on what we know on how their comics sold, on how these tend to do in trade and hardcover, whatever, project what I think they might have sold, and then each month factor in how they really did sell and get it to be a more accurate system over time. I mean, it'd be a glorified weather prediction algorithm, essentially. The weather system, when they're saying, hey, there's a 70% chance of rain, what they're doing is taking, out of days that have been like this, the next day, 70% of the time, it rains. 30%
Right.
it doesn't. And of course they're not 100% accurate. And I wouldn't expect my system to be anywhere close to that initially. But over time, it ought to be getting more and more accurate. So that's some fun stuff I'd like to do with this. I do find it interesting again seeing the balance between the comics and the trades and all that kind of stuff for these publishers. Because I am convinced at some point the market is going to shift to being driven by the collected editions simply because the sales either bottom out on the comic side or, we go through another variant bust like we did in the 90s with the alternate covers and stuff. And frankly, these days, if we were to lose 5,000 units across the board on sales because people getting the variant covers just said, hey, I've had enough and leave, that would very much change the game, on comic sales. So hopefully that won't happen, but, I see all these variant covers being done, and I gotta wonder, is this just a bubble that's gonna end at some point? When nearly everything in the top 10 has multiple covers on the comic side, that makes me wonder.
Speaking of that, do we know of any list or statistics regarding sales and downloads of the digital comics off like iTunes yet or the Marvel Unlimited site?
I don't, but I have put feelers out asking people, hey, if you can get me this, I'd like it. Because I would very much like to add downloads into the mix, both legitimate ones through like an iTunes,
Comicology or whatever,
Comicology,
Comixology,
all those kinds of things.
Longbox or whatever,
Exactly, all of those. And in a perfect world or whatever, I'd also be able to track, illegitimate downloads, because I think those are a significant number too. Now, people can say whether that's good or bad for the industry and stuff. I mean, I see both sides. There's a try before you buy, and then there's a I've read it, why buy it? But
Well, whether it's good or bad, you can't ignore it
yeah,
because it's
exactly.
there. That's the point, right?
And, I'm looking at the sales figures on both sides of the fence, the comics and the trades, and not seeing what I would consider consistently robust sales. So, I really got to think that online availability, particularly with some of the Marvel stuff, you sign up for their Digital Comics Unlimited program or whatever, and it's, I don't know how much a month or whatever. It's really the cost of what, three comics max?
Something like that, yeah. $12 or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe less or whatever. And boom, you can get whatever they have up there. The limiting thing at that point is time. So it's also, I think, a generational thing, whereas, old fogies like us may be a little less likely to go down that path, whereas younger readers who are just used to everything being online or whatever have no qualms about it whatsoever. They'll sign up for a service like that and just
Right.
read till they're blue in the face, which is great. I mean, that's a great way to get the material out there.
I'll do it. I'm just waiting for a good reader to come along, and I think I'd do it. But you and I have talked about this before. We sit at our desks enough, and reading a comic book, in my spare time is not something I want to do at my desk.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I've read a couple of things online on the computer screen because I've got all those DVD ROMs and stuff.
Right.
But to me, there's a tactile sensation about the comics that is part of the experience. The literal turning of the pages. And I think that's part of why I gravitate more towards comics than trades, is it's a different tactile experience. I don't like square bound, comics, trades, or hardcovers, because things can kind of get lost in that gutter. Whereas with a comic, you can lay it out flat, and to me, it's just what I prefer.
Right.
But, kind of to each their
Well,
own.
even in Star Trek, they read actual books, so books aren't going away anytime soon.
Yeah, well, did they have that in the new Star Trek? I don't remember.
Well, Picard always read his Shakespeare out of a book rather
Sure.
than his little, portable reader, and Kirk had his book in Star Trek II, and
Uh-huh.
so they had books.
I'm just wondering, with the revamp of the timeline in the new movie, maybe books did go away.
Maybe. I hope not.
That would be funny. So, anyways, let's go ahead and jump
Right.
over to the
Top
list.
trades. Okay.
Top trade this time around was from Dark Horse at 7,220 estimated units, and that was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. God. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8, Volume 5, Predator and Prey. Jeez, these are long titles.
That's a long title.
So whenever they need about five colons, I gotta say, hey, really,
Yeah.
come on, guys. It's a trade paperback. It was $15.95, and by my estimation, it actually dropped about 34.5% from the total known sales of the previous volume. The total known sales of the previous volume were 11,034 units. Granted, that had quite a few months to get up to that point. And I am looking to see if I know how many it originally did. It originally, volume 4 sold 8,581 units.
Okay.
So this volume 5 is down in terms of just initial month sales. Not drastically so, but enough to say, hey, that's interesting. I do think the Buffy stuff has cooled off a little. I think it's still doing fairly strong, certainly on the monthly side. But this is one that I'd be curious to see how it's selling on the mass market. Buffy has obviously a wide following outside of the comic stuff, what with it being originally a TV property. But, I am seeing a fairly noticeable drop-off from the first volume, which over time has done at least 21,560 units, the second topping out right now at 19,100 units, the third at 15,253 units, and then again that fourth at that 11,034 units. Now, part of it is those earlier volumes have obviously had more time to go accumulate those sales, but, we are seeing a drop-off of 1,000 or two easily just on the initial month sales.
You know, my question with the whole Buffy thing is, and the format really, is that Dark Horse has five Buffy the Vampire Slayer omnibuses in that 6x9 format.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they are ever going to collect Season 8 in that same format, the thicker, smaller format. So it all lines up nice in your shelf.
I would think once it finishes the run, and I think it's slated to go 40 issues, but I don't know that for certain, that they might do that.
Yeah.
Because it would just make sense for them to do
right.
So. All right, next up is at rank number 2, we've got Umbrella Academy Volume 2, Dallas, the trade paperback, with an estimated 6,009 units. Now, what's interesting here is that first volume only sold, only has known reported sales of 4,663 units. So this is actually up about 28.87%, or 1,346 units from the known sales of the first volume.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. Now, at rank number 3, and that also was from Dark Horse, by the way, so top two slots go to Dark Horse.
Have you read Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, I have.
You like it?
I don't dislike it. How about that? It's one of those that's just an odd duck.
Okay.
It's got some interesting ideas. The art, not always to my liking. It's not bad art. But it was one of those that what I was expecting to get from that free comic book day sampler a year or two back versus what I got was not in complete alignment. And, it was one of those that, if they do a third volume, do I feel obligated to get it? No. Will I necessarily skip it? No, I'll consider it. It's one of those that, is very unique in terms of what it's doing and how it's doing it, and that's, to me, both a plus and a minus.
Mm-hmm.
So, that kind of answer the question?
It does. No, yeah, that's cool. My quick little review, that's what I wanted.
Next up at rank 3 is DMZ Volume 7, War Powers Trade Paperback. It did 5,474 estimated units. That's down about 400 from the total known reported sales of the sixth volume. Keep in mind, though, a couple of things about DMZ in particular. One, it doesn't always make the list and does seem to have some steady reorders. So the numbers we're seeing here for Volume 7 are just scratching the surface. The numbers I have here for Volume 6 are only what's been reported. Got to figure some of them have not. And in both cases, this is only what's going through Diamond. This is one where, like we talked about it last year, where I think 2/3 of the sales seem to be happening potentially outside the Diamond market based on the information from BookScan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's, and again, this is one where the overall picture is, I think, skewed compared to what we're seeing here.
Right.
That having been said, this ranked third with a, 5,474 units. Those are fairly strong sales these days for trade paperbacks in the direct market.
Right.
So, there's nothing to be ashamed of here in terms of how it's doing in the direct market. To me, actually, I think that's something to be very proud of, solid and consistent sales on that. And this is one that typically, when the volume first comes out, it will do between, 54 and, say, 6,100 units, The first volume actually did quite a bit of reorder activity after that. Most of the others will see a little reorder activity, but a lot of that seems to fall under the radar, even with 300 items on the list these days. And that's another one where, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
I get a feeling with Fables and Y and Ex Machina going the deluxe edition route, I would not be surprised to see DMZ get a deluxe edition next year in 2010.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
But these are the only three items that cracked 5,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, kind of that 5,000 is roughly the, I don't say the equivalent of, but it's that bar, you know what I mean, compared to the 100,000 mark on the comic side.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, is it a big success or not kind of a thing. And, you know, even that I would say is, say, a low threshold compared to the comics, but nothing here cracked, you know, 10,000 by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Next up in rank 4, we've got Marvel Comics' Wonderful Wizard of Oz hardcover. It did 4,495 units. Rank 5, we've got from Dark Horse, Savage Sword of Conan, Volume 6, trade paperback, at 4,265 units. That's down a few hundred from the known sales of number 5. Really, it's only a drop of about 268 units, but that does translate to about a little over 5.9% drop. Rank 6, we've got Batman Cacophony from hardcover from DC, 3,758 units. Nothing really specific to compare that to.
Is that the, that's the Kevin Smith one,
that's
yeah.
That's the Kevin Smith one, yeah. Next up in rank 7, we've got Batman the Black Glove trade paperback. That did 3,619 units. So here we've got two Batman items. One's a hardcover, one's a trade paperback. Both are selling between 36 and 3,800 units. Now, depending how many stores you think are out there, that's definitely, on average, a copy per store,
mm-hmm.
but definitely less than, say, two copies per store.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is Batman, and in one of these cases, it's Kevin Smith.
And one of the other cases, Grant Morrison.
Yeah, yeah. Bat slacker. No, I'm just kidding.
So when Smith beats Morrison, that's you got to talk about that, eh?
Well, particularly at a slightly higher price point of $2, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
But my point is, I mean, these are name writers on a name character and still couldn't crack 4,000 units. So it's just comes down to, you know, where is the benchmark, the threshold for good, average, indifferent sales. And it's hard to tell on the trade list sometimes.
Right.
Now, at rank 8, we've got Fables Deluxe Edition Volume 1 hardcover, 3,340 units. I think that's actually really good sales for a $30 hardcover of material that's been available, you know, in collected edition for ages.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then at rank number 9, we've got Captain America Man with No Face trade paperback, 3,309 units. And then rounding out the top 10, we've got Goon Volume 9, Calamity of Conscience trade paperback from Dark Horse at 3,231 estimated units, which is down an estimated 159 units from the previous volume, which is about a little under a 4.7% drop. So, not too bad, particularly since that previous volume has had a couple of months to get where it got. But yeah, that's the top 10 in a nutshell right there. We've got 4 items from Dark Horse, 4 from DC, 2 from Marvel.
I gotta say, it's pretty exciting. You know, nothing. No, the numbers weren't off the charts. There's no real secret invasion, Final Crisis thing going on, or Blackest Night thing going on. You know?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. It's one of those where we had some releases. Some of them, I think, did pretty well. But yeah, nothing that just said, wow, that was just amazing. I you know, or I'm surprised it sold so, you know, low compared to what I would have expected or anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where it's just kind of an average month, particularly for the top 10. Now we get down to, say, rank 14. And we've got the Walking Dead Volume 10 trade paperback back on reorder.
Right.
For another 2,984 units. I mean, that right there is pretty good.
Yeah, that's the first reorder item on the list here. And boy, it sold really well. It sold, it outsold, you know, everything else just, you know, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is I think we've gotten to the point where there are simply too many collected editions being released.
Uh-huh.
They are no longer anything special compared to, say, like when the Judas Contract or the what was the Legion one that was from around that era? The Darkness Saga.
Oh, the Darkness Saga, sure.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of stuff where it's, oh, wow, this story was so great or so important, we've just got to collect it. Now, it's this story was so, well, it was published, so we got to collect it. And, I mean, some of this is good stuff, but there's so much stuff coming out that, I mean, it's hard for a consumer to figure out where really to put their money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look down at rank 24, we've got the Showcase Presents Warlord Volume 1. It sold 2,349 units. That is some excellent stuff by Mike Grell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually, you know, fairly robust sales, I think, for a showcase or whatever. But, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to what I think that material is capable of doing, even in a black and white format, particularly since Grell's currently doing Warlord on the monthly side.
I was going to say, when this was, you know, bannered about and getting talked about for getting released, you know, solicitation-wise, I thought, I mean, I remember seeing this in a store when I was a kid growing up, but the Warlord stuff, I would have loved to have seen this in color, and I hope that DC gets around to redoing it in some sort of color trade paperback, because, you know, some showcases are fine in black and white, like the horror stuff and the House of Secrets and everything, but some stuff really needs the color, and this is something that needs color, I think.
I think this is one that would be perfectly enjoyable in black and white, but benefits from the color, but it's not mandatory. You know what I mean? It's one that I think translates to color, or to black and white, I mean, better than your average superhero kind of a thing.
Right.
But, I mean, I would have preferred it was a color collection, too, but that's just
yeah.
me.
It's like, you know, how they did Camelot 3000
yeah.
you know, last year in color. You know, it's like, boy, that was really nice to read that in color, and I'm glad they didn't put that in a small showcase for $9.99, you know.
Well, I mean, with the Warlord stuff, I think anybody who enjoys the Stargate stuff,
mm-hmm.
or I'm trying to think of other, you know, the Flash Gordon series they did, a kind of a modern sci-fi with a twist of the Hercules Xena type TV shows or whatever,
right,
would really enjoy Warlord.
Well, I'm like reading like Dreadstar,
yeah,
something like that, yeah, or any of the Starlin stuff,
yeah,
you know.
It's one where I think there's a bigger audience for it to have than it has successfully gotten so far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one I think I would have liked to have seen do better.
Mm-hmm.
Another one down at rank 29, we've got the DC Library JLA by George Perez, Volume 1, hardcover, 2,161 units. To me, this was like the heyday of the Justice League. This was... Mm-hmm. When I think of classic Justice League, this is the era I'm thinking of, you know. So it's George Perez. I mean, on the Justice League, how can you go wrong? Now, $39.99, not exactly cheap, but, you know, hey, good stuff. And then at rank 30, we've got that Flash Chronicles Volume 1 trade paperback. It did 2,138 units. That is full color, $15. I don't remember how many issues it's got in it, but... You know, so they're doing some of the stuff where they're collecting in color, which is cool.
You know, I did a podcast on my show not too long ago about the DC Library stuff. And the one thing about the George Perez one is it starts out with I'm looking at your notes here, at issue 184. And 184 is the second part of three parts. And so you don't get the full story. You're kind of thrust into the second half of the story. Which really irked me.
Yeah. Like
if they're going to collect it, I know they're collecting only George Perez, but you got to collect the first part of the trilogy. So the reader knows what they're getting into. And I was really, really upset on that one.
That's really a tough call. If I were the editor behind it, I would say, yes, maybe that's even the first two issues he did, but let's start with the first full story arc he did.
Yeah, and have an introduction explaining why Perez took over the trilogy, or you know why he wasn't on the first issue or something like that. I mean, there's
or start two issues later and don't do that storyline at all.
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there are ways they could have handled that.
It was handled poorly, and I really railed against the whole DC library and what's wrong with it. I mean, and I compared it to the deluxe editions, which are much, much better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out if you want to.
Well, and then down at rank 44, we've got the DC Library Batman Death in the Family hardcover.
Right.
1,853 units, and that was some good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But these are not what I would consider, you know, amazing sales levels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's less than a copy per store on average. Jumping down through the list here to see if there's anything else that looks particularly interesting. I'm a little surprised to see the Marvel 1602 premiere hardcover down at rank 62. Is that the first time they've done a hardcover of that?
No, it's a new printing of that.
Oh, that would be...
So really, it's not really a reorder, but it's a brand new, you know, it's the first time as a premiere hardcover.
Ah.
Because I had it, it's been in trade and hardcover, and now it's in the smaller premiere hardcover format.
Okay, so that's a different actual form factor size.
Yes.
So technically, yeah, I would say that's not reorder.
No.
But it's
a brand new edition, really.
That's something I need to figure out a way to get into this spreadsheet we look at every month of, you know, how many times has this been collected before?
Well, we just mentioned Death in the Family.
Yeah.
And not only does that include Death in the Family, but it also includes Lonely Place of Dying.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you know, that's been collected before as well. So, and really, that's another thing I didn't like about the Death in the Family hardcover. I think it's great, but they didn't make it clear that it collects both storylines. And Lonely Place of Dying is a great, great storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, the main reason right now, one of the main reasons, because there's a few, that I don't release this spreadsheet we look at every month out to the masses is because, frankly, I'm not entirely happy with how it is.
Right.
You know, part of it's just me being a little bit of a perfectionist and wanting to tweak a couple of things here and there.
Right.
But if it was something I was happier with, I'd certainly be much more willing to release it out to the masses, or at least to whoever asked.
Mm-hmm.
There's one or two issues that might still prevent me from doing that, but that would be certainly a good first step. So if anyone out there listening has some ideas as to, you know, other statistics that would be handy for us to have as we talk about this or whatever, or just, hey, shoot me an email at jkm@comicbookpage.com and let me know. Because I do want to enhance this, like I was saying earlier, into more of a predictive model, and certainly something that just has kind of all the information at hand of, well, how many times has some of this stuff been collected before? Has it not? Is it available for this? Here's a trade. Is it available in hardcover already, or vice versa? That kind of stuff.
Well, I can point to number 73, Hulk Gray. That's been in trade, and I have the hardcover upstairs, but I don't have the brand new premiere hardcover,
mm-hmm.
which is on the list this month as a brand new item.
And again, technically it is.
Technically it is. You're right.
But, you know, the 1,500 reads 1,500 unit sales read differently if you realize it's already been in hardcover and in trade.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of this, if you're thinking, well, is it the first time it's been collected or not? You know, again, that changes the interpretations of the data.
Well, even if it's been collected, not only something like Hulk Gray, but, well, I'm kind of getting off track, but Hulk Gray was collected, you know, what, 5 years ago, right? And now we're getting a premier hardcover. But also, if you look at something like Fables,
mm-hmm.
right, it gets the trade, the hardcover, and now the deluxe hardcover. So it's the same kind of thing. How many times differently has it been collected, even the newer stuff?
But your point there of not only has it been collected before, but when was it collected before?
When was a collector before, right?
Is this something that's still available or not? Which I may not have if it's available or not, but it's one thing to say, hey, this has been collected, you know, three different ways in the last year versus three different ways over the last decade.
Right. Like Killing Joke or Death in the Family.
Right.
I got the Death in the Family trade. I picked that up, what, in 1995? You know, I mean, geez, I've had that for forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, one of the ones that's kind of interesting at rank 67 is the Superman Batman Volume 1 Public Enemies trade paperback. This is reorder activity of 1,577 units, putting the known total to 16,224 units. Now, when this was first released back in March of 2005, it sold 6,887 estimated units. The reason we got the bump, I think, this month in terms of some reorder activity is because of the DVD adaptation of it.
That's right.
Have you had a chance to watch that?
I have not. I would like to see it, though.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Did you?
You're a couple of
things. I'm looking forward to seeing the Crisis on Two Earths coming out pretty soon.
Actually, really... I have been so swamped in work that I did not even know about that until last night when I was catching up on some reading on a website. And I'm like, that looks so cool. When does that come out?
Oh, January, I think.
It's not too far away.
No, not too far away. And not only that, but I kind of messed this up because both trailers have been released in the past, you know, week or two, and both are kind of not the same premise, but Smallville. They're having their Justice Society, and I'm thinking that the Justice Society and then Crisis on Two Worlds, and I'm kind of – and they're both like – well, involve Superman. They're both DVDs or they're both, you know, on WB or whatever, and I'm kind of getting them mixed up at the same time. And I'm like, okay, is – you know, who's meeting who kind of thing? You know, which Clark Kent is meeting what other team kind of thing? And I kind of – because I wasn't really paying attention. I haven't paid attention to Smallville in a year or so.
Be thankful. I have.
I know. But you know what? I'll watch that movie when it
comes out. Oh, yeah. Up. Certainly.
You know, I'll watch them. Anytime there's a the super group comes along, like, I watched the Black Canary episode, or I watched the Legion episode last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pretty cool. Because then you guys like you and I get all the inside jokes.
Right. Well, I'll probably hang on with that Smallville one for a night when my sister comes over to watch TV. Because she does not watch Smallville, has no real interest in Smallville. But right. I have told her that Michael Shanks from Stargate is playing Hawkman, and I think she's curious.
There you go.
Of course, the funny thing is, the person who played Black Canary on Smallville has gone over to Stargate Universe as one of the leads. And then the person who played Cosmic Boy on Smallville was a guest star on a recent episode.
Oh, no kidding.
So I keep pointing out...
the same creative team at all, or...?
I don't think so. Matter of fact, I'm almost certain not.
Huh.
But, that's odd. You know, I think they may film in the same basic area or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Huh, that's interesting.
But, yeah, I am looking forward to the animated Crisis on Two Earths or whatever. Mm-hmm. I suspect around the time that comes out, we'll probably see a bump in the JLA Earth 2 hardcover.
Right.
Because that's a similar storyline.
Mm-hmm.
With the crime syndicate and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else? We got a couple of the Green Lantern things popping up on the list. No real surprise there. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Blackest Night stuff, when it hits the trade side, because it's doing really well on the monthly side, and damn, if that's not the best crossover storyline DC's had since the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, I don't know what is.
Right.
Every issue I read of that main series, it just gets better and better. And every crossover and tie-in I read, and those are ones I'm trying to keep up with as they come out as close as I can, I'm loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got six of the eight rings. I'm still waiting for the green and the red. But, I mean, those are cool little things.
I should be getting all my rings my next shipment. So I can't wait.
Bob and I actually talked about the rings on the latest Weekly Comic Spotlight.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
It seems stores are either giving them away or charging $2.99 for them.
Oh, jeez. Well, they're on eBay. People are selling them on eBay. You know, but they're selling them as sets, which is kind of probably the way to go. If I was going to sell mine, I'd sell mine as a set, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Not that I'm going to sell them. So.
Oh, no way I'm selling.
No, these are cool.
for 16 cents worth of plastic or whatever, these are way too damn cool.
Well, this is what we talked about this back in July or whenever, for the Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
DC should have been handing these out. Okay. Just at Comic-Con. Just, here's a whole box of red. Here's a whole box of yellow. Just keep on. They could have, would have made a million of each of them.
Yeah.
And they would have. So, and whatever they have left over, hey, ship them off to New York. Ship them off to Orlando. Ship them off to Texas. Whatever. You know? Just hand them out.
Yeah, I would have given these to stores to give away, and I would have given them, take their highest selling comic that they're ordering through DC, double that, give them that many or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something that is just, it's a gimmick. It's a arguably a cheesy little thing or whatever.
Great gimmick though.
I love it. It is. It's so cool, and it so ties into the storyline in a fun way.
Right.
And I'm really curious to see how those things sell when I get the November numbers, to see how those kind of played in. Because it's not a variant cover, but it's kind of going to have similar ish, trends. I think we're going to see those things just skyrocket up the charts comparatively.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking towards what's the long-term sales legs for Blackest Night. Because, again, we've got a lot of Green Lantern stuff here. We've got Sinestro Corps War Volume 1 trade paperback doing 1,098 units, with Volume 2 of that doing another 1,089 units. We've got, I thought I saw another Green Lantern thing around here somewhere. Green Lantern Rebirth doing another 1,224 estimated units of reorder activity. Green Lantern stuff is doing well. And if they can get the Blackest Night stuff to where it's got some longevity to it, that's great. You look at rank 137 here. We got the Final Crisis hardcover reorder activity, 939 units, bringing its known total to 12,081 units. Not bad, but for literally a crisis level event for DC, that's what it does. Come on, I do expect better than that, and I think Darkest Night or Blackest Night, and I always get that wrong. But I think Blackest Night certainly has the potential of not only topping the charts on the trade side, but having strong reorder activity for a while. So what else do we got here? Okay, 174, 175, two items from Random House. Spy vs. Spy, Missions of Madness, and Danger, Intrigue, Stupidity. These sold, Missions of Madness, 780 units. Danger, Intrigue, Stupidity, 777 units. It is sequential art. To me, this is one of those, is it a book, is it a trade, questions. And, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw these at the Barnes & Noble the other day in the comic strip collection where and the Barnes & Noble near my house, it's interesting. They've got the comic books and graphic novels in one section, and then all the way opposite across the room, they've got the comic strips collection and the, I guess it's the humor section.
Hmm.
But it's funny because you got, the Bloom County, the Calvin and Hobbes, and that should be right next to the graphic novels, I always thought.
Yeah, I would think so too.
But I don't know. I'm not in charge.
At rank 171, we've also got Masters of Mayhem with 789 units. So these tended to cluster fairly close together.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got down here that looks interesting? Again, we've got some Why the Last Man sprinkled across the list. Again, the usual suspects here. We've got the Push trade paperback from DC with 689 units. I don't know if this is the first time it got collected or not.
Is that for the movie?
That's for the movie.
That is brand new.
Wow, and it did under 700 units.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched the movie the other night.
Yeah, did you like it?
I liked it. I thought it was good. Didn't think it was great. Didn't think it was brilliant, but I thought it was good. and have been debating if I want to go pick up the individual issues for this this miniseries, because they're not that much on mycomicshop.com.
No, they're probably not.
And given the strong sense of demand I'm seeing for it reflected by this number, I'm not surprised. Oh, let's see. Dropping all the way to the bottom of the list. This time the list drops out around 448 units with Marvel Zombies number 3 hardcover. Kind of entertaining that Marvel Zombies is you know, bringing up the rear for the list.
They're
this time.
Still going strong, though.
Yeah.
Surprised that just above that at 293, the Astro Boy from IDW, the movie prequel, didn't do so well. Only 460 units.
I'm not real surprised by that. I think that was a movie that kind of came and went unnoticed to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just didn't notice it.
I heard decent things about it, though. And my son actually wanted to go see it, but we haven't gone to see it. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to wait for video to catch it.
Well, if you go up a little bit further to 285, we've got the Tales
of the adaptation, yeah.
Well, I was going to say the Tales of the Sinestro Corps.
Oh, okay.
And then a little above that, we've got Rage of the Red Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, even at the bottom of the list, slow and steady wins the race here with, you know, 475 more units of Rage of the Red Lanterns trade hardcover in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not doing too bad here. But the one I do find interesting in terms of movie tie-ins is Surrogates. We've got Volume 2, Flesh and Bone, which is the prequel trade and original
right.
to trade. It did 513 units of reorder activity, putting its known total to 1,671. And then up above, I saw the first volume, which is what essentially got collected into the movie, or compiled into the movie, I guess would be the way to phrase it. And where the heck was that?
I only see Flesh and Bone.
It was up higher on the list.
Oh, there it is. 127.
127, there it is, yeah. It did 1,012 units of reorder activity. I don't have a total for it, probably because originally it was just Surrogates trade paperback, not Surrogates Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to find a solution to that kind of a thing, because this whole Volume 1 gets tacked on later. It drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one where I haven't seen the movie, haven't seen the DVD, but looking forward to that. And I would have hoped it would have given a bit more of a bump to the original material.
Did you see Whiteout?
No.
I didn't see Whiteout either. I meant to.
I haven't decided if I'll go see it or not. I'm mm-hmm. not going to see it in the theater. I usually don't see movies in the theater, but might pick up the DVD. Haven't decided.
And I heard they're making a sequel to 30 Days of Night. They're doing Dark Days.
I have heard that too.
We'll see. We'll see what that's like.
That's one I'm really unlikely to go see.
Yeah, me too. I did like the first one though.
Yeah. So all in all, I think it was an okay month for trades. Didn't really see anything. They just kind of jumped out saying, "Wow, this was a brilliant seller," or "Gee, I really think this should have done a lot better," or "It did much better than I would have expected." Again, we saw some stuff at the top of the list in that you know, 54 to 7,300 range. Only sold 3 items really there. Only a couple of items in that, you know, 4 to 5,000 range. And then really after rank 13, everything is below 3,000 units. And really, once you get below rank 35, everything's below 2,000 units.
Yeah.
So anyone...
Not a stellar month.
Not a stellar month. And anyone who thinks that, well, they're going to make up for the sales on the trade side, you know, when they look at maybe lackluster sales on the comic side, I look at these numbers and I'm thinking, really, you think? Because I'm just not seeing the evidence of that. Now, certainly there's the mass market to consider, but every time we see the year-end numbers that Brian Hibbs leaks, we're not seeing them, you know, being all that impressive either.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there are a couple of cases that are just great, but, you know, it still comes down to, I think, the monthly comic being the lion's share of the income for most items. Which, you know, not a problem with that, provided those things are selling okay. And frankly, I think they can and should be selling a little better.
Right.
So, anything else? Or are we pretty much done with this?
No, I think we're good. I think we covered a lot tonight.
Cool. What else you got coming up on your show?
My show? Let's see. This week, right before Thanksgiving, I plan on reviewing the Agents of Atlas Dark Reign premiere hardcover.
What all does that cover?
It's got the Who Do You Trust mini, the Agents of Atlas, I think it's 1 through 5, maybe 1 through 6, and a couple of backups like the Agents of Atlas meet Wolverine back in the 1950s, or Logan, as he was known, and then the Marvel Adventures when the Avengers meet Agents of Atlas, which was more like the Marvel Adventures stuff. It's not really an Agents of Atlas continuity
in the
616, but it's a fun backup. It's good to see it. So I just started reading it. I reread the Agents of Atlas mini, the first mini series.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered why I liked it so much and what a great hardcover that is.
It's good stuff. I've read the first issue of the monthly. I've got all of them and the two-issue X-Men Versus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the insanely large stack of comics I haven't read lately.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
And other than that, you know, I got some interviews coming up in December and January and reviewing a lot of off-the-cuff books that you may not, you know, I'm going to stay away from DC and, or the big four as it is for probably the next, I don't know, 6 weeks maybe.
Cool.
Just, you know, not counting my year review show or my adopted character show that I'll do in January. But
if you're looking for a good indie book to read along the lines of, say, the Teen Titans, pick up Sentinels from Drumfish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Great stuff. It's something that was direct to trade but written as if it were monthlies.
Oh, cool.
So you hit the issue long length and it's like ending a thing. You got a new cover ready for the next issue kind of deal. So it chapters out very nicely there. And they usually have like 8 per trade. They've done 4 trades that are, you know, 1 through 4 and then like another one that's just kind of some extra stuff. I've read the first 2. Loved it, haven't had time to read the other 2. But
I will tell you that one of the books I'm going to do is Asterios Polyp.
Mm.
That's one of the books I'm going to cover from Mazzucchelli.
Cool.
So that's cool. And, John, I just finished the full run, all 27 volumes. It took me 1 year, but I finished all 27 volumes of the Spirit Archives, including the Dark Horse one that was released.
Have you read Batman Doc Savage special that just came out?
No, I have not.
You gonna read that?
Yeah, I plan
on
it.
I was gonna say, mentioning the Spirit made me think of that. I think they've got some big plans in that vein at DC, and what I was reading there from Azzarello, that was what Bob and I reviewed this week on the Weekly Comic Spotlight.
Okay.
5 out of 5 for me.
Really?
Amazing
well, it's,
stuff.
It's funny that, you know, it's just to, real quick, it's funny that Doc Savage is teaming up with Batman because that's the exact same way they started off the current Spirit comic book with, you know, Batman Spirit.
This, though, I think they've got a better grand plan. Now, I think what they did with the Spirit was really cool, trying to keep him in the Will Eisner-ish
mode. Oh, they did, right. Yeah.
But I think with this first wave push they're doing, that they're going to have kind of their own pulp line of comics. I don't know if it's going to be one title or many, but Azzarello has just some really cool ideas for this stuff, including The Spirit, Black Canary, The Blackhawks, Rima the Jungle Girl, obviously Doc Savage and crew. And I'm not...
Really? He's going to do Rima the Jungle Girl? Really?
I don't know. I'm not saying it's separate titles. I'm saying these are characters that are part of the First Wave initiative of some sort.
Oh, I didn't read that. Wow. That's interesting.
The backup material they have in the Doc Savage special with Batman kind of outlines what they're thinking and where they might go.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds totally cool.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. I haven't been to the comic store in a few weeks, so hopefully there'll be a copy there.
I like I said, 5 out of 5 for me, and that's not an area where I just naturally gravitate and say, wow, that's cool stuff.
Right.
I've read the Doc Savage series they did in the 90s or whatever, liked it and stuff, but I don't consider myself a Doc Savage fan. But man, they sold me on the concept.
That's a character I'm not that familiar with at all.
Yeah. So it was good stuff. Definitely you should check that out.
Okay. What's coming up on your show?
Let's see. We've obviously just did the weekly comic spotlight this week with the Batman Doc Savage stuff. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking about Brave and the Bold 29, Realm of Kings number 1, and Drone number 1.
Mm.
So I need to catch up on, I think, Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy and anything else that might tie into Realm of Kings number 1.
Right.
And then I'm hoping that also next week I will have had time to crunch the October numbers, which have been out for a week or actually more than a week or two already, and get the Mayo report for that stuff up in the next week or two. Because, of course, by then the November numbers will probably be out.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to make you do a weekly podcast with me for a couple of weeks, so
no,
bear
that's
with
all right.
me.
I don't mind. That'll be all
again,
right.
Again, I apologize for getting behind on this stuff. But then we're going to talk about, on the following week of the weekly spotlight, JLA 39, which has the new lineup. And I think that's the one that gives the red or the blue ring. And then Incredible Hercules 138, so I got to catch up on some of that stuff too. And then Buck Rogers number 6.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
And then the other items or other episodes that week will be the preview spotlight. So again, anyone seeing any cool stuff in the, I guess it's the December previews now, such as the first wave stuff or anything else, please send in clips. We love hearing about stuff from other people. I picked up the Batman Doc Savage just on a lark, thinking, hey, this might be interesting. I could have just as easily decided to pass on it. To me, that was a 5 out of 5, and man, that would have been a shame if I had skipped that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like doing the preview spotlight, because maybe somebody will say, hey, John, you really got to go read this. And really, that's kind of what we got scheduled for the next couple of weeks. I've gotten, like I said, a little behind on just reading in general for my comics because of work. But we hit our major deadline, and that should go back to regular hours now, I'm being told. And as it stands right now, I've got 264, quote-unquote, new comics to read, I believe. I could be a little off on that number. Plus, I've still got some stuff to inventory from San Diego that I never got around to. So I got tons to keep me busy. But, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how these sales numbers shift in the coming months and just what happens on all that.
Hmm.
And like I was mentioning earlier, I am thinking about reworking the spreadsheets I use for this. If I get them into a state I'm happy with, I would be much more likely to release them out into the wild. So if any of the listeners have questions or analysis they think I should be doing or things that, you know, suggestions for how I can improve these spreadsheets and whatnot, I would definitely like to hear them. Obviously, if you have suggestions, Chris, I'd like to hear those too.
I'll see what I can do.
I think there's more I could be doing with this, and like I said, I'd like to get this into a predictive model to where, you know, as the month ends, I can be saying, well, this is kind of how I think it might turn out to be. And again, over time, it'll start out of questionable accuracy, but potentially over time it could get to be an actual useful thing.
Right.
I think it'd just be fun to do, but that's a long ways off. Now it's just baby steps of, okay, can we add the imprint to these things for Wildstorm or Max or Vertigo? Can I add other tags of, hey, this has a new writer, hey, this is a Batman title or whatever? You know, and just ideas in that area. Because I'm going to probably spend a little time just kind of taking a step back, rethinking it, and seeing what I can do on all this.
Cool, man.
I think that...
Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, I think that does it for this month.
All right. Thanks a lot.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themayoreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes to 2 decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there is at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust it needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, the list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50.5 or excuse 10 items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer is here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Ath logic and English language itself seem to work very differently there.